Welcome back to the Faction Podcast. We're here again with another interview leading up to the Faction Championships of 2022. This time I am joined by Alex. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to have you on. I think another person who hasn't been on the podcast before, but always good to get new people on.
Fair enough. I mean, I can understand not wanting to listen to me talk too much.
I think also you are one of the more recent parents in the faction, so your time is very valuable and very limited.
Yeah, unfortunately, I went from probably being one of the more prominent sort of grinders and testers in the team to, yeah, I barely play now.
Yeah, I can only imagine the struggle, both like having less time and also having less flexible time. I imagine it's a lot of like gaming whilst summer is napping and not really being able to commit to long periods of time.
Yeah, and I've got to be honest, Magic as a game doesn't lend itself to that like other games do. When you commit into a match, you could be there for 30 minutes or longer. You just might not get 30 minutes from your kid to play. I don't know how Shane manages it so much at all, because I'm too scared to play Magic because I might suddenly not be able to, get to the end of my game. By comparison, I play a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh! On my phone now, because those games tend to only go 5 minutes.
Yeah, for sure. It's one of the things I found playing Pokemon Unite, which is like a Pokemon MOBA, and the games are all 10-minute timers, so like 15 minutes total once you take into account like queue times and champ select, essentially, and it makes a big difference even compared to Magic, where you have to allow like half an hour to an hour. The other thing is, at least Arena Best of One, I've found, is a bit quicker.
It is quicker, but even then, you know, you could just hit a control deck, or you might have one yourself, and, you know, 30 minutes isn't unreasonable.
That's true. I think especially this draft format, which we'll chat a bit about later, but especially the black-white life gain decks, sometimes they'll get to 40 life, and it's, like, going to be a 35-minute game one. So, you have been around the faction for, well, a few years now, I think. How long ago did you join?
So I don't know the exact year. It's either 2016 or 17, but I do know it has to be by 2017 because I was the Faction Player of the Year of 2017.
Right. Okay. So some very high level of achievements there in the past.
Low competition at the time. No, I had quite a good season in 2017. I earned a fair and square. Oh, we can talk a bit more about that, though, when you want to hear about my accomplishments, I guess.
We will talk about that for sure. So was that the year, was that one of the PPTQ years, I think?
Yeah, so, oh, I mean, why don't I tell you right now? So that year, in 2017, I got into two RPTQs, and I also cashed two GPs. Both were team events. One I cashed just before I joined the team. I do think that was in 2017, though. So that wouldn't have counted towards it, but it was a great year nonetheless. And then that same year, near the end of it, I cashed one with Nathan and Leo.
Yeah, right. So good results in, I guess, the like WotC events there in the sort of PPTQ, RPTQ system and also GPs. On the other side, how have you done in Faction Majors?
Sure, so I've done very well in Faction Majors. I think it's easy to forget, but I was the second place in the very first Faction Champs, and I was in the top four of the second Faction Champs, and I wasn't present in the third one. I was in Japan at the time.
Sure, sure. So a good track record then to hold up.
Yeah, now invitationals I've done much worse, you know. You've got to do well in some events and bad in others, so the invitationals have never gone my way, unfortunately. But that's okay.
Yeah, and in some ways I think, I don't know, it's interesting. Which do you think is higher prestige? Like, in some ways I think champs is the almost the more competitive one. Not that invitationals aren't competitive, but...
I think champs are definitely the more competitive one. If people on the team are going to think about practicing for an event, it's going to be the champs, it's not going to be the invitationals. The invitationals is first and foremost a way for us all to have a weekend away together. And the whole event started that way, right? The very first invitationals was a 2 or 3 night away event. Whereas the very first Faction champs, that was a 1 day event.
Yeah, I mean, even now, champs is still 1 day, and there'll be some stuff the night before usually, but the actual tournament is 1 day, whereas invitationals are 2-day tournament, and we'll usually have a place for 3 days with quite a lot of stuff going on. So.
Exactly. I mean, and the reason I think the Invitationals does break it up is because it is a bit more of a casual thing. You know, we bring in a lot more players from outside of the team for that. We do make sure there's other activities other than playing Magic. When we do Champs, that's not important. It's Magic is like, you know, it's enjoying each other's company and playing. When it's Invitationals, it's the playing comes after making sure we're just all having a good weekend, I think.
Yeah, and I know Shane, I think, has talked to me about how that also influences the formats they pick. So Invitationals will often have a slightly weirder draft format. So the most recent one was like Iconic Masters, and the one before that was like a Ravnica block rotisserie draft. So they're often a bit weirder, whereas I know for Champs, they like it to be something that people can practice if they want to.
Yeah, definitely.
Speaking of, so we've got Highlander and Crimson Vow draft this time around. Have you dived into those formats much? Let's start with draft. How much drafting have you had a chance to do?
So I started playing Crimson Vow draft 1 week ago, and I have only been able to squeeze in 4 drafts, and I'm in the middle of playing the 4th draft right now.
Right.
So I have very little practice with the format. And the quality of practice, I think the quality of the drafting itself is quite good, and I've had people in from the team in with me when I've drafted to help me learn faster.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to playing the games, though, you know, I'm playing in bronze and silver because I've played so little. So the quality of the games isn't that great. You know, I'm probably going to get caught out by some really common play pattern with, like, a trick or removal spell that I just haven't experienced because I'm playing in the low ranks.
Yeah, I know we were talking earlier while I was watching one of your games, and you said, is there, like, a trick, a 2-mana reach trick in the format? And I said, yeah, there is, like, I've seen it played a little bit, but that's the sort of thing you mostly get from playing games.
Yeah, and then you get used to knowing what it looks like when that card's going to be there, right? You get used to stuff like, well, that game exactly, right? He has a guy who taps to add mana. Now, if that trick has, say, untap on it, that's not something I'm going to know. I still haven't seen the card. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he cast and I counted it, so I didn't read it. but if it has untap, right, it looks like it costs 2 mana, but in some respects it only costs 1 because it's untapping the guy who made it and then he's blocking with that guy. So, yeah, this is the sort of thing you kind of have to play the format to see.
Yeah, absolutely. But you did mention that you've had people sort of birding your drafts a bit, which I think has been a really good thing over the last, I'd say, week or two, is there have been people in Discord drafting and chatting about the format a lot, especially Shane, I would say, and Trent as well. I mean, even as we record this, we literally just jumped out of a channel with 5 different people in it to come record this.
Yeah, for sure. I think, I mean, this is what everybody likes to do, is this kind of, like, let's all jump on, play some Magic, all be there at the same time. It's just that often someone isn't going to put their hand up and go, hey, I'm going to jump in and do this first. And because I'm practicing, I've sort of kicked that off for a few days.
Yeah, it is funny how, I mean, you put a message in our group chat saying, oh, I'm going to be on drafting and I'll stream it in Discord. And immediately there were, like, 4 people in the channel.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah, they just all want to take the piss out of me playing like crap, right?
Possibly true. That might be it. There's also been some people playing Highlander, I know, a little bit more sporadically maybe because you actually need the second person to start. But I think you've actually played a fair bit of Highlander in the past, right?
Yeah, so if this was 1 year ago and you asked me how I felt about Highlander, although... You know, I don't have, like, a CanCon top under my belt or something like that. I'd have told you I was very confident going in
mm-hmm.
because I know that at that time I had played a lot more Highlander than really anyone other than, say, Trent and Swanee. And I've consistently had Swanee's number most of the time when we've played, so I wouldn't be too concerned. And, like, the last time I played Trent and Highlander, we had a great, great game and I got there. So that wouldn't have me scared. Now... I know that they've been practicing a lot. I have not been. I have, you know, some degree of confidence in the format, but I don't have confidence in a deck choice.
Hmm. Yeah, right. So still looking to work out what you're playing, or will you actually own a paper Highlander deck? So is this going to be an opportunity for you to just play with your paper cards then?
Well, yeah, it is an opportunity to play a paper card, but I own a lot of paper cards, so I'm not backed into a specific deck.
Sure.
And I'm not scared of proxying if I feel that's the right choice for the day.
Yeah, right.
Uh, So ultimately, I want to play the cards I own because I spent a lot of money on them.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll direct my brewing. But I'll look at my plan. I mean, I'm happy to share my plan. My plan is to take the list of all the attendees, take a guess at what I think they're going to play, and then see if there's a theme that I have to consider when I build my deck.
I think that's a really difficult challenge, to be honest. Off the top of my head, I could tell you what I think the people who regularly play Highlander will play, and then after that, it's just so hard to guess at what brews people will bring or what list that someone finds online that isn't necessarily a common list will strike their fancy.
I would say it's hard, but you know, I've played with everybody on the faction now a lot and for a long time. You know, I've known everyone on the team for years. I feel like I quite confidently know what they gravitate towards. So even if I don't know their list, I know what they might like. And when I write it all down on paper and go, well, what would I expect the kind of deck they play to be? I might notice, for example, this is my expectation. There's going to be very few people who want to play combo. I know very few people on the team who like it.
Mm.
So then I'm like, well, do I want a whole lot of sideboard slots to beat Ian only? I don't think so. But that's what I'm going to look to do.
I mean, hey, man, my 75 is out there in public. Everyone knows exactly what I'm playing, and it is a combo deck, mostly.
Well, it is, but that's a great example. See, I actually reckon I would have always put you in a combo deck, even if I didn't know that. Yeah. I know that you played pod before, but you actually played pod combo.
I did.
I know the kind of decks you'd like playing for years.
Yeah.
You like combo decks when you find them. And you like combo decks, I've found, generally, that have creatures in them, so that you've mm-hmm. got tempo plans.
Yeah, more than that, I would say hybrid combo is easily my favorite and most experienced type of deck, and unsurprisingly, that's what I'm playing. It's what I've had success with. So,
yeah. So just like that's true for you, I think that's true for most of the team.
Yeah.
So I won't be able to put them on. I won't know their 75, but I will know their play style that they like.
That's fair. I think that's where maybe you've been around a couple of years longer than me, and you have a little bit more of an idea. Whereas I think for a lot of these people, I've actually only seen them play constructed a handful of times in some cases.
Yeah, true. And the other part of being very active in the team is, you know, whenever there's discussion about Magic, I tend to be there,
mm-hmm.
at least before Summer was born. And so all that collected knowledge, not just playing but chatting, means I got a good sense of everyone. Kynan, of course, is our newest recruit. And so for me, he's the biggest unknown. I don't know what Kynan likes playing.
I think he's a huge unknown as well, because if you remember at the Invitational, so the last time we played Highlander, he actually just played Moltres Goblins list, and I think he just talks to people he trusts who are invested in Highlander, because I know he doesn't actually play that much Highlander himself, and he's likely to talk to people he trusts and take their recommendation. So last time it was he played Moltres Goblins list, but really he could be on almost anything depending on what the people he trusts recommend to him.
I mean, honestly, yeah, I probably would have, if I got to my list and I looked at Kynan, I probably would have just thought about, you know, which Jerry's do I think he's close to that play a bit of this format?
Yeah, exactly. It's an interesting point you make, though. It is a small field, so you can get quite a lot of value from that kind of metagaming. If you work out that, for example, you think I'm the only person who's going to play combo, that's a big deal, and that can change your deck construction and even your deck selection.
I mean, a big example of this would be if I was going to worry about an artifact-based deck. You know, there's three players I can think of off the top of my head that I would be worried about. I'd be worried about Pete, I'd be worried about Dan, and I'd be worried about Brent. Now, I'm not sure if all three of them are attending, but they're the only three I would probably put on, like, a robots and or combo artifact strategy naturally. And I already know that Dan will be on Reanimator because he loves it, and he'll play what he loves.
He's also had more success with it recently. I think he is a little bit disillusioned with that Academy Wheels deck he had been playing. He got an extra point in the last pointings, and then he sort of has been trying new things and really enjoying Reanimator. So.
Absolutely. And you think about what he's been doing in Vintage Cube. He kept trying to do those kind of Artifact Matters big mana wheel decks and being unhappy. Now he's been jamming Reanimator, and he's been having so much more fun in Vintage Cube. It'll push him to want to play those cards in Highlander.
Yeah, that's fair. It's interesting. This is where your, I suppose, recent disconnectedness maybe has is a challenge for you, because, for example, I know Trent has been playing a lot of artifacts recently.
Yeah, now I will be honest, Trent is, for me, he's going to be a complete unknown, because I don't think he'll play what I would naturally put him on because I don't think he'll believe it's good. So Trent loves playing either, you know, efficient. He likes efficient, you know, proactive cards, I think, generally. And I'm not confident. I know he doesn't want to play. Well, at least I think he doesn't want to play Teemer. So it kind of leaves me, what would he play?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the thing with Trent is, you know, he won't play combo and he is unlikely to play aggro or hard control. He's going to be in sort of a fair deck somewhere in the middle.
He's also hard because I know that he does have fond memories of playing aggro in his early days of Magic.
Mm-hmm.
He has a lot of reps playing hard control and like modern. But then, you know how he, when he's just building decks and draft, you know that he likes to go these proactive mid-range strategies. So he's everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. He has a huge range and will play what he thinks gives him the best chance, I think. On the other hand, he'll probably be 3-0 in draft, so you won't have to play against him unless you do well in draft.
I mean, hey, I could open the Toxrill, right? I still haven't played against one, but I hear it's going to be the worst experience.
It is probably the second most unbeatable card in the set, which is really saying something, given it is...
Well, what's the most unbeatable card?
The Werewolf, the Hexproof Werewolf.
Oh, is that the thing we were just talking about before the podcast? It's like like a million mana effect if you've got like two creatures on board.
Because Toxrill costs one more mana and dies to removal, that stupid mythic werewolf has hexproof and then gives everything else hexproof.
Yeah, so it's like if they've developed their board in a natural way for limited, you lose.
Yeah, like I've lost games with Toxrill where I cast Toxrill on turn 7 or turn 8, it killed one of my opponent's creatures, they untapped, had a removal spell, and then overpowered me. It doesn't happen with a werewolf.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's sort of your experience. Sounds like you've put a lot of thought into Highlander especially and starting to get a handle on the draft format. What is your goal, I guess?
I mean, I would like to top again. It would be nice. I would like to do well enough to top, but, you know, I've played a lot less. So my number one goal is I get a weekend away from the family to have fun, so I'll make sure I have fun.
Yeah, I think that's a good goal. That's a good way to look at it.
I mean, it would be nice if every single chance I'd attended, I've topped. That would be awesome. But hey, you know, to be realistic, everyone in the team is taking it seriously this time.
For sure. So, if you're not going to win it then, who is?
Sure. So, I'd go for the highest, you know, the best odds pick is going to be Trent. Because he has the best record in draft, as far as we know from evidence, right? He was Mythic ranked 27 or whatever. He gave us a screenshot, so
I think he was Mythic ranked 2 actually recently.
Yeah, okay, sure. So now he's like officially one of the best players of the format in the world. So, you know, the reasonable expectation is he cleans up a draft. I don't think he can go under 2-1, but he can probably get knocked out by a bomb, right? So I won't put him on 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to Highlander. He's played a lot of Highlander as well. He's been very active in the format, you know, playing the format for the last month. So he shouldn't be coming in unsurprised. And the only way you get him there is if you show up with something off meta that he isn't properly prepared for, which could happen.
Yeah.
Oh, or you can mana screw.
Yeah.
So he's my pick just because, you know, being realistic, he is the most practiced in both formats and clearly has the best results in both combined.
That's fair. I think he is the very safe pick. And I'll be honest, this question was more interesting when a few weeks ago we thought he wasn't coming and we got a little bit more variety in answers.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so if Trent is the, I suppose, somewhat more obvious pick, I guess, or the unsurprising pick, who do you think is a little bit of a dark horse or might be sliding under the radar a little bit that might upset and take it out?
Sure. So sliding under the radar, I'd be looking at someone like Dogen, or I'd be looking at someone like, oh, I almost got to bring up a list of a team to like make my choice. Oh, you know, if I'm going under the... You know, under the radar, I bet it might be Jono, right? Because he's actually bothered to practice, which he would never do for stuff. Yeah, he skipped a lot of faction events, as it is. And he certainly wouldn't show up with much practice normally. So, you know, he very much could get there.
That's a good call. I think Jono will be maybe hampered by his Highlander choice, but if he can, like, 3-0 a draft and then squeak out with 2-2 with his little green boys,
yeah,
he will be a good shot once he gets to that top 8 draft.
You know, honestly, you know, I'll pick one person. My pick is going to be Dogen, and it's going to be Dogen because he has played the format, I believe. You know, he's played mm-hmm. some amount of Val. He is very good at limited. He's very good at playing limited, also in ways that other people don't a lot of the time.
Yes.
So you lose points against Dogen because he's not playing the way you expect often. And then the same thing when we go into Highlander. My expectation is that Dogen's going to come in with an aggro deck. I don't know how low to the ground he'll go, but the reality is that, you know, there aren't, when you look at the decks that top in Highlander, it's not aggro decks that much of the time. So sideboards aren't quite built for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people who show up aren't going to have tested a lot against just, you know, balls to the wall aggro. And if that's what Dogen shows up with, like he did at the Invitational, he'll scalp people. He scalped them last time, he could scalp them this time.
Yeah, for sure. I think you make a really good point that he plays differently to other people, and that's true of limited and also constructed. So he's definitely a chance to bring in something, probably an aggro deck that no one has really seen before and no one is prepared for, and to sweep through.
Yeah. And you know, he can drop a game in each format and still make it into the top. And then he, you know, a couple of games fall his way and he gets there. So I think he's a good dark horse.
Yeah, absolutely. Who do you think is coming ninth?
Sure. So I understand the only correct answer to this one is Kyle.
Well, that's actually interesting. That's one of the answers. The other two have been Hoodie and Nath, are the two other options I've heard.
Yeah, I don't think it's Nath. I think Nath is practice. He's a good bet for getting in.
Yep.
Nath's a great example of the kind of person I think Dogen would scalp in a top eight, because he just didn't quite have the right cards to not die.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. Nath seems like the sort of person who would have practiced a lot, have a really good handle on format, and then he'll play against Dogen, and it'll just be like something he's never seen before.
Yeah, exactly right. And it'll be something like Dogen will disrespect the card he should respect, but by doing so, will just like kill Nath or something. So,
yeah.
You know, I wouldn't put him at ninth. I think Nath is a good shot for topping.
I can just picture Nath being furious after a game, being like, you didn't play around this thing. Like, that was terrible. If I had it, you would have got crushed. And Dogen just kind of shrugging and being like, yeah, but yeah.
I mean, it'll make for great jokes, so I look forward to it happening.
Absolutely. All right, well, thank you for coming on and having a chat. Best of luck with your draft prep and at the event.
Yeah, best of luck for you at the event as well.
All right, thanks. We'll be back with more interviews throughout this week. Lots to come. So we'll see you then. Bye, Kyle.